We're talking about the Christian ex-gay movement, which tries to help homosexuals convert to heterosexuality with the help of prayer. At the core of the movement is the belief that homosexuality is in conflict with Christianity. My guest, Alan Chambers, is the president of the largest ex-gay organization, Exodus International. Founded in 1976, it now has 130 member agencies. Chambers says Exodus has witnessed the transformations of thousands of men and women. Chambers describes himself as a former homosexual. He's now married and has two children. Why do you believe that homosexuality is in conflict with Christianity?
Well, for the mere fact that the Bible states that it is. Every major religion, from Hinduism to Buddhism to Christianity to Judaism, have a prohibition against homosexuality. It's something that, for me, as a young Christian, I grappled with my gender identity as it was in conflict with my faith. And the majority of men and women who seek out help have that same conflict. They know what the Bible says about homosexuality. They didn't choose to feel gay, and they don't want to feel gay. And so they find an alternative, and that's the alternative that Exodus promotes.
Do you think that the people who you consider to be successful in your program completely convert from homosexuality to heterosexuality, or do you see it more as like a lifelong process of resisting continuing homosexual feelings?
I think it's all of the above. I have talked with and met people who say that they have walked completely away and will never struggle with that again, or have never struggled with that again. I believe there's everyone on the continuum. I often like to use the phrase that I will never be as though I never was. I can't forget where I used to be, and I can't deny the fact that I'm still human and I could be tempted in every way. But today, where I live my life, and I believe this is true of those who would say they have successfully left homosexuality isn't something that controls them anymore. Where at one point in our lives, in my life, I could not resist homosexuality. I could not resist the urge. I could not get those thoughts out of my mind. I was exclusively attracted to members of the same sex and acted out on that on a regular basis. Today, I believe I have what I would describe as a Garden of Eden relationship with my wife, in that she is the object of my desire. She is who I am attracted to. She is who I love. She is who I have chosen to spend the rest of my life with. Homosexuality isn't something that I even think about every day, apart from my position as the president of Exodus. So I believe that homosexuality is something that people can absolutely overcome. They can absolutely live in freedom from and apart from. But I do believe that people continue to struggle in a variety of forms. There are people that I know, even within the Exodus Network, who would say, my attractions haven't diminished, but I've just chosen to live according to my faith and according to my convictions and abstain from homosexuality.
When did you start to realize that you were gay?
Very young. I think homosexuality is something that starts very early through the developmental factors, certainly from birth. I think that we are developing into who we're going to become. And I think, looking back at my family dynamics, looking back at my environment, homosexuality was something that started very early in my life. And about the age of 9 or 10, shortly after I was molested, I began to identify that I had homosexual feelings. And when puberty came to play in my life, that was when I absolutely knew that I was exclusively attracted to members of the same sex.
You were molested by a man?
I was molested by an older teenage boy, yes.
When you were how old?
When I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Now, in a testimonial that you'd written, you wrote that as a boy you really wanted to be a girl, and you often dressed in your sister's clothing and your mother's high heels.
I did. You know, that, I believe, is very indicative of a child who feels more comfortable with feminine things. And for me, my dad was who I love and am very close to today. But when I was growing up, my dad was very much into his career, gone a great deal. And when he was home, he wasn't necessarily someone that I wanted to spend a lot of time with. We had different interests. On the contrary, my mom and my sisters were very fun. They were very exciting. They were absolutely involved in every detail of my life, and I wanted to be like them. And so I would dress up like them. I would dress up in their clothes, act like them even. And that's where I found the most comfort and the most security, was in being in the relationship with them. And so I think that that's oftentimes what we see in little boys who we would label as gay or effeminate. And I think that that's an unfair characterization. I was just a kid who was behaving in a way that was acting like my role model. That was my mom.
Did you grow up Christian?
I grew up in a Christian home. Yes, I did.
At what age did you start thinking to yourself, I've got to stop. I've got to stop having these gay feelings. This isn't healthy.
Probably as soon as they started. As soon as I knew that I was attracted to members of the same sex, I was in conflict with it. It wasn't even something necessarily that in the beginning I'd heard was wrong. I was just a kid. But at the same time, there was something deep within me that knew this isn't quite right, and I would like to do something about it. When I heard it was wrong, certainly I tried everything I could, from praying to reading my Bible, in order to overcome my homosexual feelings, to no avail.
Alan Chambers is the president of Exodus International. We'll talk more about the Christian ex-gay movement in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're talking about the Christian ex-gay movement, which believes homosexuality is in conflict with Christianity and tries to help homosexuals convert into heterosexuals with the help of prayer. Let's get back to our interview with Alan Chambers, president of the largest ex-gay group, Exodus International. He describes himself as a former homosexual. He says he tried to become straight with the help of prayer without results, until he turned to Exodus for help. So when you started going to regular meetings of the Exodus ministry and started to meet other men who, like you, felt they were gay and they didn't want to be gay, was it the first time you were really regularly surrounded by other men who were gay?
It was the first time that I was surrounded by other men, or a lot of men who were gay. I had found people within my middle school and high school that I was in relationship with that were gay as well. They didn't necessarily label themselves that, but we were involved as friends and beyond that to some degree. But it was my first involvement in homosexuality to any degree. I had never met a group of gay people or people who had identified in that manner, or who had lived a gay lifestyle. And so it was something that was new to that little Christian 18-year-old boy who had been sheltered from that his entire life.
Did it make you feel at all, maybe I'm more normal than I thought I was? Look, there's other people like me. There's actually, you know, there's other gay men. In fact, there could be a gay community.
It absolutely felt exciting to me. It felt intriguing to me. It made me feel much more comfortable with who I was, because I had lived my whole life feeling like, you know, I may be the only person in church that's ever felt this way before. And yet I go to this ministry and there are 50 to 100 people who go to churches around the local area who have struggled with these issues too. And it was something that was comforting to me. It was nice to know that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only one. And that was something that provided a great deal of comfort in the beginning days of my journey out of homosexuality.
But it wasn't comforting in the kind of way that might lead you to think, well, maybe being gay isn't terrible after all. Maybe I don't have to try to convert.
Going to the ministry did introduce me to a whole new world. And there were people in the ministry who were at varying ends of the spectrum of leaving homosexuality, some who were new to this whole thing, just like me. And I did develop a group of friends who within the ministry weren't necessarily serious about change or committed to the idea. And I started hanging out with them and going out to gay bars with them. And I was introduced to a whole new world that I had absolutely never even considered being there before. That was something that was new and exciting to me as well. And there was a period of time where I got very involved in the gay community. And, you know, at one point I decided I'm going to research both sides very well. I'm going to be involved in the gay community as well as continue to go to counseling. And we're going to see which one of these makes the most sense, which one of these wins out in the end. And I got involved in both. And in the end, I decided what was best for me and what I wanted most was to leave homosexuality and pursue a life beyond that.
Do you ever ask yourself, why would God make you gay? Because you said basically that you thought you were born that way, and make so many other people gay if it was truly a terrible way to be?
I asked that question so many times at the top of my, screaming at the top of my lungs to God, how could you do this to me and then say it was wrong? And for me, I don't think God made me gay. I think he allowed me the freedom to choose. I believe that for many logical reasons, I developed a homosexual orientation, and based on the information that I had at the time, I got involved. But at the same time, he provided a way out for me, and I'm grateful for that.
You married the woman who you describe as your best friend. Were you best friends before you got married? I wasn't sure whether she's your best friend now or she was your best friend before.
She's definitely my best friend now. Before we got married, we had become very close friends and spent a lot of time together. And, you know, really from the moment that I first saw her, I knew there was something different about her. I knew that I wanted to spend time with her. I knew that I wanted to be in a relationship with her, though it wasn't something where I thought, oh, I want to marry her. But it was something that quickly developed into a deep relationship where I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And on January 3rd, 1998, I did marry the very best friend that I've ever known.
I'm going to ask a question I usually wouldn't dream of asking anybody, but so forgive me if it's too personal. In fact, if it's too personal, please don't answer it. But because of what we're talking about, I feel like I should ask, is your relationship with your wife a sexual one?
It is, and I've been asked that question many times. You know, for me, I think I said earlier that for me, my relationship with Leslie is like a Garden of Eden experience in that I am absolutely solely attracted to her. We have a wonderfully intimate physical, emotional, and sexual relationship. And it's, I think oftentimes we, especially in America or in Western culture, get sex confused with intimacy. And our relationship started as a very intimate friendship and grew into an intimate, exclusive dating relationship, which ended up in marriage. And because of our intimacy, because of our relationship and our love for one another, sexuality absolutely grew out of that. And it's something that only gets better in our relationship because we're committed to each other, because we know one another, because we love one another.
Now, you've said that you would like gay marriage to be illegal, and one of the reasons why is that you're afraid had it been legal when you were younger, you might have gotten married to another man and not had the opportunity to leave homosexuality in the way that you have.
You know, I think that gay marriage only serves to complicate very complex issues, especially for young people. For me, as a young person who got involved in homosexuality, who was looking to find the ideal relationship. And there were men that I was in relationship with who I would have given anything to been their husband, to stay at home and make a life together. I would have chosen that option had it been legal. And I know that it would have only complicated my process of walking out of homosexuality. I don't think it would have stopped me from leaving homosexuality, but I think it would have been a whole lot more complicated than it was.
President Bush invited you to the White House in June for a press conference in support of a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. My impression is that the ex-gay movement has become more politically connected since you've become the president of Exodus. Is that true?
we believe that who we are, the people that we serve, our constituents, are the public face of public policy. And public policy affects people, people that we care about, people that we represent. And so it is of the utmost importance that we are involved in policy issues where these things are concerned. And so as the president of Exodus, I have brought a new dynamic to the ministry in reaching out and dealing with these very sensitive policy issues. And that's something that I believe will continue to be a part of the life and the ministry of Exodus.
So you're in the position of being a gay man, or maybe a formerly gay man, would be the way you'd prefer to put it, leading a group of similar men in a movement against gay marriage. Does it ever feel odd to you to be coming from a gay orientation and at the same time be working for legislation that would deny gay people the full kind of legal and social things that you get when you're married?
I think one of the greatest myths that is operating in our culture today is that the majority of gay people are interested in gay marriage or ordinances that would protect them from being discriminated against. I think we live in an extremely tolerant and accepting culture. The most tolerant and accepting culture that we've seen, I believe, in the history of the world. The majority of gay people aren't interested in gay marriage. There is a very small minority of gay men and women, most of them who are politically active, who are fighting for the right to legalize same-sex marriage. For me, what I know is that the very best thing for children is that they have a mom and a dad. Marriage is most about children. And that's something that we feel very strongly about, protecting children. We know what it's like to grow up, many of us, in homes where we didn't have the support of both a mom and a dad, whether that was through divorce or death or simply having an absent emotional parent. And that's why we are looking to protect and promote the issue of traditional, natural marriage.
Do you have any gay or lesbian friends who are living a life that you approve of and that seems to you to be a good life with a caring, enduring, loving relationship with another person?
I have friends that have relationships, who are involved in relationships. I have friends who are in relationships with one another. My stamp of approval isn't what's important, but it's what I believe that God says about the issue of homosexuality. So I look at their life. I love my friends. I'm glad they're happy, but I don't believe that they're living in accordance with biblical truth. Yet we're friends. They know my opinion. We're in relationship with one another. They come to my house. They know my children. They know my wife. And I know their families. We differ on our opinion on the issue of homosexuality based on what the Bible says about it.
One more question. Do you think there's any chance that at some point in your life you will say, I give up, I've fought this too long, I'm going to accept myself the way I am and have another relationship with a man?
You know, I guarantee you there will never be a time in my life when I go back to where I've been. I had every opportunity to live my life in that way at one point. I had every opportunity to be happy in my homosexual relationships. What I found and what I live today is far superior to that. There won't be a chance that I'll ever wake up one morning and decide that what I have isn't as good as what I used to have, or that I could find something better. I'm perfectly happy where I am today.
Ellen Chambers, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Ellen Chambers is the president of Exodus International, the largest ex-gay organization. Coming up, Sean O'Donnell describes why he joined Exodus, but years later gave up and came out. This is Fresh Air. We've been talking about the Christian ex-gay movement, which tries to help homosexuals convert to heterosexuality with the help of prayer. We just heard from the president of the largest ex-gay group, Exodus International. My next guest, Sean O'Donnell, came out to his pastor when he was 18. O'Donnell tried to overcome his homosexuality, but kept failing. So he joined Exodus International and lived in one of its residential communities. After several years in the movement, he gave up and came out. He now describes himself as an ex-gay. What were some of the things you were told to do and some of the things you were told not to do to help you along your way to becoming an ex-gay?
Well, I was definitely told not to hang out in places that I used to hang out.
Like what places were those?
Gay bars or with gay friends. Those were some definite places that was, you know, where I couldn't hang out. I wasn't allowed to hang out in Boys Town in Chicago. And some of the things they told me to help me change were, you know, that I had issues with my mother. I had an overbearing mother and a distant father. And so I was to work on that through therapy. And that would help me become a heterosexual man, supposedly.
Did you feel like you, in fact, had problems with your parents?
No. I had no problems with my parents.
What about prayer? How was that supposed to help you?
They told me that God would take away my desires for other men through prayer. And I used to pray at a very young age, starting at 13 when I became a born-again Christian. I would pray every night for God to take this away from me, sometimes more than once a day. And it just never happened. And I still had those desires. I still had those feelings. Not only prayer, but Bible reading and going to church were supposed to help me.
Did they?
No.
Now, you were discouraged. You were told basically not to go back to the gay bars and to hang out with gay friends. But in the ex-gay movement, you were constantly surrounded by men who were gay, although those gay men were trying to be straight. So what was it like to be trying to not be gay and be surrounded by other men who were also trying not to be gay, but were gay?
It was horrible. There were plenty of times where it was just very frustrating. Like I said, I lived in a house, a live-in program that Exodus provided. And I can remember times where people did things in the house that were very inappropriate. And it was very frustrating.
Like sexual?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That would just, you know, really frustrate me because I was really trying to work this program. And I couldn't interact or I couldn't join in. There were definitely people that I was attracted to in the program that I could never let them know that, or could never engage in any sexual act with them for fear of being kicked out.
Did you try to date women?
Yes.
What was that like?
Horrible. You know, I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to respond. You know, I never had any physical relationships with any women. It was for a very brief time. So it wasn't even a... I tried to date two women when I was in California while I was in this program, and it just really didn't work out.
Did you tell them that you were in the program?
They knew.
Mm-hmm.
They knew because of the church that I was involved with. They were actually from the church, and that church was almost involved very much with this program.
And the women were okay with that?
Yes.
So how long were you trying to convert to heterosexuality before giving up on that?
11 years total.
What was the turning point for you?
I was in this when I was in the program, which is called New Hope Ministries, we would frequently go to a mall after church, and we would sit in like this vestibule area. And after about 3 years of doing this and looking at men after church, it just finally clicked. And I told myself I just didn't want to live my life like this anymore, that I needed to do something with my life, get on with my life, and start actually working on myself just in general, not, you know, working on any issues such as sexual orientation, but just, you know, working on a career and getting a house built and finding somebody to spend my life with. I thought those were much more important than trying to waste my time doing the ex-gay thing.
My guest is Sean O'Donnell. We'll talk more about leaving the ex-gay movement after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about the Christian ex-gay movement. My guest Sean O'Donnell joined the movement, but after 11 years, gave up on trying to convert to heterosexuality. He left the movement in 2002 and came out. So what did you do with your life in that immediate transition out of the ex-gay movement?
Actually, it was kind of interesting. The week after I left, I moved in with some friends that had also been in the program with me a year prior, who had also decided that they were going to just live their lives and stop trying to change themselves. And I actually came out at a gay pride parade in San Francisco. I found a gay church in downtown San Francisco that I got involved with, and I was in the pride parade with them on a float. And that was almost like my coming out day for me. It was very liberating and free, and I had felt like, you know, years of pain and turmoil were going to begin coming off my shoulders, basically. Immediately after that, I stayed around in California for a while and then decided that I was going to move back home to Chicago because this is where I'm from. And I really at first had a very difficult time with my decision. I got heavily involved in drugs, sex, and ultimately figured out I was an alcoholic. And so for a few years after I got back, it was very difficult because I didn't want that to happen either.
Well, that was exactly the lifestyle that you'd been warned against, you know, because I think a lot of the people in the ex-gay movement believe that homosexuals are more prone to having, you know, anonymous sex, being addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography.
Yes. Well, it was almost like my own self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, this is what I was trying to fight for my entire life not to do. But I knew that I was gay, and at this time I knew that there wasn't anything to do to change my sexuality. And through that experience of me getting involved in drugs and anonymous sex and, you know, becoming an alcoholic, I have kind of come full circle. Not full circle, but I mean, at one time I swung on the pendulum so far the other way, trying to be straight, that was difficult. And then at another time I swung so far on the pendulum the other way, where I just didn't care about spiritual things or about God or the church because of what they had done to me. You know, and I pretty much wanted to have nothing to do with them. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it for a period of time.
And now?
Today,
yeah.
I have since found my spirituality again. I have been involved with AA and recovery, and also have been involved with helping other people who are ex-gay or trying to come out of that, and sharing my story with whoever I can so they don't have to go through the same pain that I did.
you were born again, and that's what led you to the ex-gay movement. That didn't work for you. When you left the ex-gay movement, did you leave your church too? And what is your religious status now? Are you still Christian?
I did leave what I thought was my church when I left Exodus. And I think that's just and a lot of this happens to a lot of people. I mean, but I'm speaking for myself, that they have been so burnt by the church and repressed that they don't want to have anything to do with it. Today, I would consider myself a Christian, but it looks much different than it did back then.
What's the difference?
I would say that I have a different view in terms of the way I think God looks at me. I interpret some of the scriptures differently than maybe your mainstream evangelicals do. I interpret some of the biblical passages, the six Bible verses that they use against gay people. I interpret those much differently.
I think some of the people in the ex-gay movement would say Jesus loves gay people, but he knows that homosexuality is a sin, and that's why he gives them the choice. That's why he gives them the alternative to be straight. Is there a part of you that still thinks, you know, you've got that alternative to be straight, and really you should just try harder?
Mm-hmm. No. I don't think there's an alternative anymore. If anybody's tried to change their sexuality, and I know I have, I mean, there were plenty of nights where if I could have sweat blood in my prayers, if that gives you a visual, I would have over this issue. You know, I tried my hardest to change my sexuality. I did whatever I could in, what they were telling me to do. I followed it. I mean, I did everything. And I still have the desire to be with another man. It doesn't go away.
Well, Sean O'Donnell, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Sean O'Donnell is a former member of the ex-gay movement and now is out as a homosexual. Earlier, we heard from Alan Chambers, president of the ex-gay group Exodus International,